This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2287. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world. I'll evolve the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded March 20th, closing down Voice of America and other U.S. government stations. Also, Finland, Germany, India, Japan, North America, Russia, Solomon Islands, Somalia, Turkey, USA, unidentified, and the propagation outlook. Standard disclaimer. As you know, World of Radio normally goes through the alphabet country by country from A to Z. And since it's toward the end of the alphabet, that encourages me not to spend too much time about our own country, USA. But today it's very different because we have a major story to cover, so we're starting with USA. There were hints that this was coming last week, and now it has happened. Musk and Trump have decided to get rid of the Voice of America and the other U.S. government international broadcasters. There has been a huge amount of press coverage about this, as well as comments from our own shortwave listeners. I've been inundated, and it's taken me longer than usual to try to put this together in some kind of comprehensible order. Mike Cooper forwards a story from, of all things, the Jakarta Post. March 13th. A senior advisor to President Trump said she was moving to cancel long-established contracts between three international news agencies and the federal body overseeing U.S. government news organizations. In a post on X announcing the move to cut the contracts with AFP, Reuters, and the Associated Press, former journalist turned politician and staunch Trump loyalist Kari Lake said we should not be paying outside news companies to tell us what the news is. Ken Zicke in Michigan replies, I have never in my life visited a real news operation, radio, TV, print, or otherwise, that did not have available for its reporters what the competition had published. TV news operations have screens with the other stations. Newspapers have copies of other newspapers. For goodness sake, the high school newspaper I edited got copies of other high school papers. What professional journalist would ever suggest you shouldn't look at other sources? I frequently suggest we're at a race to the bottom, but this just sets me off more than I can even express. How can these people be taken seriously? It is beyond the Peter principle and into the we can't seem to destroy it, so let's have it implode by appointing complete incompetence. Steve McDonald replies, I suspect Screw Loose Kari is not the least bit interested in real news and facts, so likely will be content rebroadcasting right-wing podcasts and similar crap. It'll be Trump's nonsense 24/7. John Filiozza replies, the future for the new VOA is Fox News, Newsmax, Breitbart and the like, or Extinction, which would be virtually the same thing. Via Mike Berkla from National Public Radio on March 15th. Headline Bloody Saturday, mass suspensions at VOA and other U.S.-funded networks. Journalists showed up at the Voice of America to broadcast their programs, only to be told that they had been locked out. Federal officials had embarked on indefinite mass suspensions. All full-time staffers at the Voice of America and the Office of Cuba Broadcasting, Radio Martí, were affected. More than 1,000 employees. The move followed a late Friday night edict from Trump that its parent agency, the U.S. Agency for Global Media, must eliminate all activities that are not required by law. Under the leadership of Trump appointees, the agency has severed all contracts for the privately incorporated international broadcasters it funds, including Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, Radio Free Asia, and the Middle East broadcasting networks. The termination notices for grants for the funded networks, two of which were reviewed by NPR, carried the signature of Kari Lake, Trump's senior advisor whom he placed at USAGM, and not the agency's acting chief executive. She does not appear in her current job to have the statutory authority to carry out that termination. From the Washington Post, March 16th, Trump tapped Kari Lake to run VOA, then he dismantled it. During his first term, he accused VOA of speaking for America's adversaries, not its citizens. Over the weekend, he essentially dismantled it. Late Friday, he issued an executive order that directed VOA and an array of federal offices to be eliminated to the maximum extent consistent with applicable law. About 1,000 journalists were placed on indefinite leave. Those who showed up to work to broadcast their programs were locked out of the building. It wasn't exactly what Kari Lake was planning. If confirmed to lead the organization, she had said, she would be able to transform the outlet into a powerful weapon to fight an information war. But the rapid pace of events shows that Trump's campaign to dismantle the federal bureaucracy and control U.S.-backed news content across the globe has effectively gutted VOA, potentially forcing it to go dark for the first time since it launched during World War II. On the White House website itself, dated March 15th, we saw this article titled "The Voice of Radical America." President Trump's executive order will ensure that taxpayers are no longer on the hook for radical propaganda. Dan Robinson, a 34-year veteran of VOA and its former White House correspondent, wrote last year, quote, "I have monitored the agency's bureaucracy along with many of its reporters and concluded that it has essentially become a hubris-filled rogue operation, often reflecting a leftist bias aligned with partisan national media. It has sought to avoid accountability for violations of journalistic standards and mismanagement," unquote. Kim Elliott, also a former VOA person, refers us to VOA senior national correspondent Steve Herman, W7VOA, with his Requiem for the Voice that Carried a Nation's Conscience. It's on his own website or blog, www.steveherman.press. VOA's signal for 83 years crossed borders and ideologies. Now its silence will speak volumes. My colleagues and our broadcast, devoted to telling America's story to the world, honestly, fairly, and with an unwavering commitment to the truth, are being silenced. The de facto destruction of VOA is nothing less than a betrayal of the ideals that gave birth to the institution and made it relevant throughout World War II, the Cold War, and in the decades after the collapse of the Berlin Wall. Like many other things I'm quoting, it's just a brief excerpt. You may read the whole thing if you're a member of the World of Radio IO group. Tyler Pager, Associated Press, reports, like many of the president's moves in his wide-ranging effort to shrink the government, the order appears to test the bounds of his authority. VOA's parent, the U.S. Agency for Global Media, is congressionally chartered as an independent agency. Congress passed a law in 2020 intended to limit the power of the agency's presidentially appointed chief executive. Some of the administration's moves to slash agencies have been halted by federal judges. By Saturday morning, March 15th, many journalists and other employees at VOA were informed they were being placed on administrative leave, according to an email reviewed by the New York Times. Journalists said cuts were so widespread that they would effectively shut down the international broadcaster. Michael Abramovitz, the director of VOA, wrote in a post on social media that virtually the entire staff had been put on administrative leave, including him. He wrote, "VOA promotes freedom and democracy around the world by telling America's story and by providing objective and balanced news and information, especially for those living under tyranny." In the Arctic Radio Club, Ronnie Forslund in Sweden says, "There is one person who looks soberly and clearly at developments. Exactly. Putin. Everything is going his way now. The way is open for even more disinformation. He's probably thinking about how to conquer the rest of the American media." Already in 1956, Crusoe said, "We will take America without firing a single shot. We will defeat you from within." Yes, suddenly this development seems completely realistic. I guess by Crusoe he means Khrushchev. Stop Putin now. Slava Ukraini. Then this question naturally arises. What will happen to the station's extensive transmitter capacity, with relay stations in many countries? Will they become mouthpieces for authoritarian regimes? I am fortunate to have a correspondent who can tell us what's going on inside the Greenville, North Carolina VOA station. Not all the staff there are full-time employees. 7 technicians are personal service contractors and are to be put on administrative leave until further notice, but not locked out, unlike some personnel in Washington. This was as of March 16th. 5 government service employees remaining are 3 supervisors, the chief engineer and a secretary. 1 person already accepted a buyout. A former manager has returned. It's unclear if there will be enough staff to keep running the site 24/7. Now in doubt is a major expansion of the Kuwait site, 3 250-kilowatt Amphigons to replace São Tomé and others. And what about other relay sites? So far it appears that Tanang, Philippines is still operating. At 15 UT March 16th, I checked the Radio Marti frequencies and found they were still on the air, 13820, 11860, and 11930. The Greenville manager, Wilford Cooper, could not find anything out at 16:04 UT that date. The computer network was down. Greenville was getting its Marti programs from satellite. The staff could not put in their time cards, get the daily activity report of operational memos, so if they had been told to shut down, they would never know. But an hour later, by 16:54, the order had been passed to Chief Engineer Macon Dial to shut Greenville down. All employees had been told not to show up for work. Alan First was monitoring from Kansas City and says Marti went off at 16:30 UT, March 16th. On March 17th, our informant says, one of the guys said they were told to shut the power off to the building. That means no AC and no heat. In North Carolina, the equipment will be ruined in a month. Phil Erickson, W1PJE, explains what this is about. As a person who has dealt with 100-kilowatt transmitters, if Greenville's buildings at Site B are truly powered off, including environmental support, it will not be long before the transmitters themselves are irretrievably destroyed. When buildings go to outside temperatures, there's a large increase in possibility of rupture of the internal cooling lines on the final power tetrodes if they are not flushed with appropriate glycol-based compounds. I seriously doubt anyone had the time to do that, given the speed of the developments. Cooling line rupture is an instant scrap metal conversion. Also, like any vacuum tube, the filaments are fragile and can break if they are powered down to cold status and then re-energized later, even in a gentle manner. How many times has an incandescent bulb in your house popped when the power switched on? Typical practice is to ensure the lower voltage filaments on transmitting tubes, like the 250-kilowatt power tetrodes used at VOA, are always kept energized even when the high-voltage connections are not energized. Since those filaments can consume hundreds of amps each, there is no way they could be left on using batteries or equivalent if the mains power is off. While the ultimate fate of VOA works through the courts, $100 million of hardware assets hang in the balance, says Phil Erickson. Kim Elliott says on March 16th at 13:16, I'm listening to what should be VOA Korean on 11570 via Philippines. The content is VOA's house music, innocuous instrumentals used by USAGM transmitter sites to fill time during mishaps such as lost feeds from Washington. It's not VOA 1, the hits. And many other monitors have reported this. Published by AFP, the head of RFERL called the cancellation of funding a massive gift to America's enemies, the Iranian Ayatollahs, Chinese communist leaders, and autocrats in Moscow and Minsk would celebrate the demise of RFERL after 75 years, said its president, Stephen Kapus. An RFA employee said, it's not just about losing your income. We have staff and contractors who fear for their safety. We have reporters who work under the radar in authoritarian countries in Asia. We have staff in the U.S. who fear deportation if their work visa is no longer valid. Wiping us out with a strike of a pen is just terrible. In the Hill, Ted Lippian writes, shutting them down was sudden, harmful, and deeply unfair. Placing journalists in foreign language services who have devoted years of their lives to their jobs and have done nothing wrong in an impossible position. These agencies have suffered from terrible management decisions, but to break things by stopping all programming does not make these agencies better. It weakens their usefulness to U.S. national security. Members of Congress from both parties must pressure the White House to allow these broadcasters to resume their work as soon as possible. More to come. We are amid World of Radio 2287, a non-commercial public service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in Raleigh, North Carolina, who sent a check to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, marking the vernal equinox, and says, "Many thanks for your unique service to the world." This comment by Jim Renfrew, a pastor, "The role of VOA can now be filled by overcomers. Child abuse, scams, and really bad theology, a fitting adjunct to current U.S. foreign policy." Many thanks to David Cole in Oklahoma, who has forwarded a lot of info that we're quoting, such as this from X by Carla Babb. "Today, I, like virtually every other full-time employee at VOA, was placed on administrative leave indefinitely. I'm not allowed to report the news to our hundreds of millions of viewers at this time. Let's hope it's temporary. A silencing of VOA will be celebrated by communists, autocrats, and ayatollahs, whose lies we shed light on. What a mission I've been lucky enough to embark on, to grow American influence around the world, not by sharing slanted American propaganda, but by giving them the truth. Why? Because America has the truth on its side." On the morning of March 17th, Bernd Friedewald of the ILG radio database posts to the UDXF group his latest observations, all of these no longer being heard as of various times, 6, 7, or 12 UT. Radio Marti, Radio Farda to Iran, Radio Mashal to Pakistan, RFE-RL, Radio Free Asia, Radio Free Afghanistan, and of course, the VOA. Kai Lutfisch in Germany comments, "Watching this unbelievable train wreck to continue." However, on March 18th, Brian Stelter at CNN reports, "Defying Trump, several U.S.-funded international broadcasters are still reporting the news. One of the networks is in crosshairs. It's going to court to contest his shutdown. RFERL, broadcasting in 27 languages, says the grant termination would violate the Constitution and federal laws. They filed a lawsuit in U.S. District Court on March 18th. And CNN reported that leaders of RFE and other U.S.-funded networks have instructed their organizations to ignore Trump's order and continue broadcasting because they believe the terminations are unlawful. Matt Francis forwards this. "The case will be heard in U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia." RFERL President and CEO Stephen Capus said, "This is not the time to cede terrain to the propaganda and censorship of America's adversaries. We believe the law is on our side and that the celebration of our demise by despots around the world is premature." The head of VOA, Michael Abramovitz, was interviewed on the PBS NewsHour. "We're silenced for the first time in 83 years. Devastating to me personally and to the staff, and to all the thousands of people who used to work at VOA. This is a very special and unique news organization. It deserves to live. It doesn't mean we can't reform, but it deserves to survive." Tony Pavick in Hope, B.C. comments, "Once again, we have people who have no clue about the power of international over-the-air broadcasting making decisions to curtail it to the point of a total shutdown. Trump himself said nobody listens. The fact that people in Cuba tune to Radio Marti is ignored by them. The thought that nobody listens ignores the fact that since BBC, VOA, RCI, DW, and even Radio Moscow cut transmissions or left the air entirely, means that there's nothing to listen to. If nobody listens, why do China and North Korea jam VOA and RFA? Why does China invest so heavily in shortwave? Why is Voice of Korea even on the air with programming that is so bland it makes drying paint look exciting?" Face reality. International media such as shortwave is low-hanging fruit, accessible to all. Michel Frémy of Radio Du Monde says, "Czech Foreign Minister Jan Lipavský plans to discuss with his EU counterparts the continuation of RFERL, which will no longer be funded by the U.S. administration. It is in Europe's interest for these broadcasts to continue," the foreign minister said. RFERL, which is based in Prague, needs about 3 giga crowns a year to operate. Make that 120 megadollars a year. Via Mike Cooper, an opinion piece from the Washington Post by Dana Milbank. "Stalin, Mao, and Khomeini could not quell freedom's voice, but Trump did." We've had many specific observations about frequencies no longer on the air, including relays of other stations back and forth. Vatican Radio, from a 102UT on 7305 in Portuguese and Spanish, has been relayed by Greenville, but it can't be there now, and we assume it's coming directly from the Vatican. During the same hour, there is South Korea in Spanish on 11880. That cannot be Greenville, but we don't know where it's from yet. As Tony Pavic says, as with everything going on with this, it's a game of whack-a-mole. The situation may be different tomorrow. Finland, the low-power station Real Mix Radio, had been on 6185, but they switched to 6195 at least part of the time, as heard by Manuel Menes in Spain with a very weak signal, March 16th at 0601 with pop songs in English. Via BCDX, Free Radio Skybird, or Free Ship Radio Skybird, scheduled for transmission on Shortwave Radio Germany, March 15th, Saturday at 12 UT on 6160, Sunday the 16th at 10 and 14 on 6160, and finally at 21 on 3975. We already reported that Akashvani, or All India Radio, had moved from 9620 to 11710 for some of its broadcasts, but Alexander Myatlikov in Ukraine says there's extremely strong interference from France in DRM at 1830 to 1857 on 11710. As usual, NHK Radio Japan broadcasts hardly any English. Only two broadcasts are left for the A25 season from the end of March. At 05UT on 15310 via France to South Africa, and at 14 on 11815 direct to Southeast Asia. These are 28 minutes long on weekdays and 30 minutes on weekends. Thanks to Alex Myatlikov for their full schedule. North American Pirate, formerly known as Hikari FM, on 11529.9. Ron Harrod has been in contact with the operator, called Ivan or Ivan, who says he's giving up the shortwave frequency and concentrating on medium wave for the foreseeable future, 1710 kilohertz, but some interference from 1700 in Tijuana, so he may move a bit higher. Eric Fetterswalp in Washington says, I've been listening to WDOG, a frequent pirate, in the 6.9 megahertz band, but heard on 9290 USB since 2230 UT March 14th, via remotes in Utah and Ohio, playing pop and rock tunes from 1977. About UVB 76, the Russian number station, on 4625. From Medusa.io via NordDX via shortwave bulletin in translation. It's been transmitting a repeated short buzz sound and occasionally coded messages for more than 40 years. It became more active after Trump began talks with Putin. Seen on Telegram and YouTube channels closely following the station. Occasionally transmits encrypted messages of numbers, words, and word-like letter combinations. It sent a total of 46 messages in February 2025, a record number of 25 in one day, coincided with February 12th when Trump and Putin had their first phone call since his presidency began. Code words included synopsis, bitch, boulevard, spidocrat, creaky, and Brahmaputra. Solomon Islands Broadcasting sometimes leaves its 5020 transmitter on the air all night. On March 14th, it was being heard long past normal closing at 12 UT, such as at 15 UT by Walt Salmon of NBC, and still into his own receiver at 1711 UT, but no longer heard or seen by 1747. Now we're listening via a remote in Brisbane. Zaharias Langus was still hearing it past 19 UT with nonstop music March 14th. Ron Howard was listening to Radio Warsan Somalia 7750 via the remote in Ethiopia March 14th at 0421 and was surprised to hear them relaying BBC in English. From HFCC via Wolfgang Büschel, here is the English schedule for Voice of Turkey for the A25 season starting March 30th. At 12:30, 17620, 16:30, 11660, 18:30, 9750, 20:30, 9875, 22 to North America, 11785, and at 03 to North America, 7275, and 6165. We are sad to learn from our friend Tom Roach that Brock Hoyley has passed at the age of 70 in South Carolina. He was a longtime disc jockey, broadcast historian, and shortwave DX contributor. His career began in 1971 at WUSF-FM in Tampa on the fondly remembered program The Underground Railroad, the first appearance of rock music on FM in that area. WMLK in Pennsylvania is really having some problems. March 16th at 14:53, I was hearing them not only on their fundamental 15150, but unstable spurs at intervals of about 4 kHz above and below, like 15138, 15142, 15146, 15154, 15158, 15162, and 15166. Something's bonkers at Bethel. Furthermore, this report from Terry L. Kruger in Florida. 17575 WMLK. March 7th at 2234, a huge carrier, presumably just after supposedly closing down at 2230 as scheduled. The big carrier was still there at midnight 58 the next GMT day. And it gets better, still there at 11:12, and finally off at 14:39 recheck. Someone must have shown up in the morning at the transmitter site and said to himself, oops. Some of my medium wave and unidentified loggings. March 18th around 06:30 on 730 kHz. I was hearing the syndicated program The Other Side of Midnight, which originates at WABC New York, but I cannot find an affiliate list. But I believe it's coming from KQPN in West Memphis, Arkansas. And checking their web stream, that's agreed to by Greg Hardison. On 550 kHz, March 15th at 06:34 and still at 6:53, I was hearing a 1 kHz tone alternating with a loop announcement. This is Westwood 1, SES 11, transponder 17. For receiver authorization, please call Denver Operations Center, 720-873-5177, between 8 a.m. and 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Best guess, it was KTRS St. Louis. On 1030 kHz after local midnight, 05 to 07 UT, I've been hearing romantic songs in Spanish with no announcements. Oops, the romance is with Jesus. This is most likely KCWJ in Blue Springs, Missouri. On March 17th, around 04:44, I was hearing just barely audible carriers on 4790 and 4950, where nothing is listed. However, 4950 could be a third, fifth, or ninth harmonic, while 4790 could not be a third harmonic. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued March 17th. Active to minor to major storm levels are expected March 25th to 28th and April 4th to 12th. AN Canis is peaking at 25 and 5 on March 26th and 27th. 35 and 6 on April 5th and 8th. 40 and 6 on April 9th. The only quiet dates of 5 and 2 are March 22nd to 24th and 29th to April 2nd. Solar flux peaking at 200 March 22nd and down to 150 by the 28th, and gradually up to 185 by April 12th. For much more info, consult our website, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our contributors and stations, hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 2287, with a standard disclaimer.